Hey guys, what happens when you're a mostly straight lady living in the suburbs of LA and it's time to celebrate gay pride? Tune in to find out.
What's happening today? What are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Don't you want to know what's going on? Let's go! Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
Hey, it's Gay Pride Weekend here in Los Angeles, California. I was walking my 14 years young cockapoo, a blonde lady, a little dog who is very dirty and stinky, no matter how much I bathe her. She only needs one block. That's all this little lady needs, you know, to get her to go to the bathroom and get her sniffs on, to sniff some stuff. And we were walking and I saw a rainbow flag and I got so excited because I live outside of Los Angeles. I live in the suburbs, the quiet suburbs. Now, there are Christmas decorations. There are Halloween decorations. You know, I will say there is an aggressive competing, what's that called? There's somebody that does a humongous, almost room, bedroom-sized dreidel, blow-up dreidel that they put on their lawn next to a blow-up teddy bear. Can somebody explain to me? There's no Jewish significance to a teddy bear as a celebration. That's just somebody who is Jewish and wants you to know how proud they are, but also loves teddy bears and puts it up there for Hanukkah. So there is that person that's competing with the Christmas. But as far as I've never seen a rainbow flag in my neighborhood. So that delighted me to see that. I felt kind of proud of Encino, I'll be honest with you. And I'm not a big display type person. I'm not a big shouter out. I don't even like to have logos on my t-shirt, you know? My instinct is like, hey, get off my stuff. That's private. It's not for you to know. But then when I saw that, it made me happy. And it made me want to have pride for gay pride. So I was getting ready to go to a comedy show and I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to drive to West Hollywood. Is it going to be crazy there? And then I started seeing on Instagram people getting their sparkly rainbow outfits together. And I looked in my closet and I realized I had nothing to wear for gay pride. The best I could do was just step it up a notch. I had a silky little tank top that I put under a blazer, and the tank top had a print on it, which was exciting because, you know, I do a lot of grays, a lot of navies. And so I put on an exciting print, a fitted blazer, and some large earrings, and I parted my hair on the side, and I went to do stand-up that night, and I said, this is my gay pride outfit. They didn't get it. I said that you wouldn't know. I know to you, I look just like a nice lady in regular clothes, like how a regular person would dress. But for me, this is really stepping it up a notch because if I were next to a drag queen, she would say, oh, excuse me, sir, I didn't see you. I dress in my normal life like an invisible man. If I went to a strip club, the strip club would come up to me sexily and say, oh, hey there, little boy. Why so depressed? Do you need a lap dance? I dress like a depressed little boy in my normal life. I know a lot of people can relate. It's really hard to not wear sweatpants outside. I gotta force myself to put on baggy jeans for the dog walk. You know? So for me, pride was being myself a little bit more heightened. It was a bit of a queer eye moment. You start from where you're at and you step that up a notch and you enter the world. And it wasn't that bad. Although I will say I performed And then I went to dinner with my friend, and I took off my blazer and the large earrings, and I put a sweatshirt on. And I took off the heels and put on flats because I could only take it for so long. I guess that's okay. You know, my MO since the 90s has been to have flat shoes in case I need to make a quick getaway, and that I'm always in some state of, not quite drudgery isn't the word. What would the word be? I'm always in a state of, not flux, but like, I'm ready for everything. I'm ready to get my hands dirty. I'm ready to, I don't know. I'm not really ready to get into a scuffle. Maybe I am. It's like, I want to quietly punish myself for the work that I haven't done is my look. I used to, in the 90s, have a backpack. I'm doing a little bit better now, but what started out coming into my adulthood, I would say earlier than 20s, I would carry a backpack filled with books that I felt I should read, that I wasn't a good enough person until I read more, and I couldn't come to terms with the fact that, like, hey, you're never going to read Atlas Shrugged, okay, ML? So I graduated. I finally stopped carrying around David Foster Wallace Infinite Jest in my backpack. I let it go. I used to wear car wash sunglasses. I still enjoy car wash sunglasses. I think it's silly to spend a lot of money on sunglasses and have a backpack. And I would wear my pajama bottoms and wet hair and go out into the world like some sort of a dredged up rat who was trying to gain some knowledge and be a better person, but was never quite there yet. I went through a transformation when I started getting more acting work. Ironically enough, it was being on the show 24 when I started doing press for that. And I had a publicist at the time, and that was a completely new thing for me, and I had never been on a red carpet before. I mean, I had worn heels once every couple of years type of a thing, but never really thought about them. Maybe would wear a heeled boot, but I put on a dress and heels and showed my shoulders and had makeup on and had my hair done and took to the red carpet, and I never looked back. And so, yeah, if you go online and you see pictures of me, if I go online, see pictures of myself, I'm like, oh, who's that pretty lady? Because now, because of that period in my life, I've sort of embraced that I can be a lady from time to time. But then I slipped back down. What I was describing to you about now in my everyday life, I have a couple of dresses shoved in the corner of my closet, and I have a couple of leftover sky-high heels, but I don't really go there anymore. I do wear a conservative heel to do stand-up, and I'll wear, like I said, a tight blazer, but maybe I'll step it up a notch again. And the thing about going back into the sweatshirt for dinner, I gotta relax more. Ladies who dress up like that, they're not like trying to make a quick getaway. They're like, I'm the princess for the night, and I'm going out to dinner, and I'm wearing a shawl, and I'm gonna touch up my lipstick. Am I ever gonna become that lady? I mean, does all of this mean that I'm on the spectrum of sexuality, or am I just depressed and lazy? Also, that was my own private public way to celebrate gay pride. Did I go out and march? No. Do I fight for gay rights every day? I do not. It's not my it is my place to be more vocal about it. But I also have to be honest with where I'm at with it. And I watched a lady at a show describe every performers, because I did a couple shows during this Gay Pride weekend. And there was one guy who was flamboyantly out in the best possible way. And he went to a bunch of gay pride events, and he was sort of sick of it, how loud they were and obnoxious. And it was completely valid because he was a gay man, and he also did participate and had an opinion on it. And that was a clear, concise take on it. mine is I'm a weird voyeur from the outside. Like, oh, I'm a mom in the valley and I'm just trying to be more fabulous and think about gay pride. I wasn't proclaiming it as my own. Another woman talked about gay pride, but then she went into a story about how her grandmother was gay and she didn't realize it for most of her life. And then her grandmother was always with this woman that she was scared of. And I talked to a friend of mine about it and she said, you know, that didn't sit with me right, because she wasn't telling really her experience. She was just talking about someone like, oh yeah, I know someone who's gay. So therefore, you know, you got to get into it and know what you're about and stand behind it. And it's not always easy to do. And some people jump on the bandwagon because it's a party and it's a good time, but don't really have the meaning behind it or the experience of why it's really important. So you got to be careful with what you're doing in the world and why you're doing that. On the other hand, I think it's really amazing that I was so aware of gay pride, although I wasn't. I did get invited to a dyke fest, though. I took a nap instead because I was out late at night and up early with my son, so I got to manage my time. But I was excited. I would have liked to have gone and supported and be social. And I will go to Dyke Fest maybe next year. I'll plan a little bit better for that. I don't know, though. But then again, it isn't my thing. You know what I'm saying? I am a mom. But I do support my friends who are gay. I do support people who are gay. I would like to support. I guess you have to, like, take it as it comes. And I was going to say, I love that I was so aware that it was gay pride and it just exists as a thing. You know, in LA, it's like, oh yeah, it's gay pride weekend. Like, it just is there, like a holiday, unapologetically. I love that. But I guess when straight people try to not use it, but take ownership of something that isn't theirs, it's like, how do you support in a healthy way? I pose that question to myself and to people. And how do you have passion and understand and know what that support is and what it means without just telling the story of it with no investment? I think that's what it is. But it's almost like you're third person. It's like, well, where are you in that? Where are you? And in my own quiet way, this is a separate thought. I'm working through it, but in my own quiet way, I'm going, well, where am I? I live, privately. Occasionally in interviews, people will say, oh, you're bisexual. Do you want to talk about that? And I'm going, no, not really. I've explored that. That's not my lifestyle now. I support people who need to put that banner on for themselves. That's important. I support that. If you need me to say that, I'm not going to condemn that. It's just not something that I personally believe that I need to walk around. I don't need that. I've made a choice to live in a certain way. That doesn't mean that I haven't explored my own spectrum of sexuality at certain points in my life and certain years of my life where I, you know, like the women's commune I started. Oh, I'm just making that general statement for a whole period of my life where I had dated a woman 10 years ago and then ran into her again. And then she was going through a breakup. I had just gone through a breakup. Her female friend was going through a divorce. And we said, hey, let's start a women's commune. And it really was about the woman who was my friend. It was a whole smokescreen so she could angle towards wanting to be my life partner. And then I wasn't really into that. And there was no sexual chemistry for us at that point. And so it can be confusing because it wasn't really about sex for me. It became about somebody inserting themselves in my life and powering over me, which is highly unattractive, but was something that I was very weak and let them happen. I mean, to me, it's so much more important to investigate how you treat people and how you respect people and what your boundaries are and who is trying to power over you. I think the sexuality is important, but it's kind of a no-brainer. It's like, yeah, people have all different kind of sexualities. That should not be an obstacle. That should not be something that needs to be shunned or closeted or put away. It needs to be accepted and seen. So to me, from the outside, that's what gay pride means, is like, we're here, see us. I remember the first time when I lived in San Francisco, the first time I went to the Castro neighborhood, and that neighborhood, when I walked in there, I was like, oh my gosh, I am the odd one out. I am uncomfortable because of the, uncomfortable isn't the right word. I was, oh my gosh, I don't fit in here. And it was a new experience to be immersed in the gay male culture. I definitely felt how I was different. And that's a really powerful experience. I remember walking up and down those streets. I wasn't made to feel uncomfortable by anyone. I maybe was ignored a little bit, for sure. Maybe I wasn't ogled by men or catcalled. And that was a different, as that came out of my mouth. I mean, that has happened at times where I look like a lady, but like I said, I mostly dress like a little boy. So that wasn't something that was happening for the most part. But I guess I was more invisible. So the experience for me was feeling that I was the one left out and maybe I didn't belong in this neighborhood. But on the other hand, I was bringing that upon myself because nothing was happening to me. No one was treating me poorly. So it was a combination of feeling that and also being really, honestly, really excited because I was seeing all these sights and sounds that I never normally saw. That was a celebration of men and men's bodies and men together and men socializing. And it was unapologetic. It's like a whole neighborhood that's just completely out, and storefront after cafe after apartment, and the fashions and the joy and the celebration that is that neighborhood. That's how it was when I was there, which probably now is like 20 years ago. And going to a gay club and seeing that the expression of that is, I highly recommend that experience if you haven't had it. And it's something where you may have your guard up, but then once you let it go and realize and let that experience happen, that's a way to live is what I'm saying. And San Francisco was an important time in my life for that reason. And what a great, beautiful city to have my coming of age as a young person. And also my roommate at the time was the first person to tell me that she was bisexual. And she said it to me like she was going to tell me she had cancer or something. And then when she told me that, I was like, oh, okay. Because she was scared because she didn't know how I was going to react, because that was something, I think things are a lot different now. And when that woman was performing and saying that her grandmother was gay, she was my age or a little bit older than me. So, you know, things are different now. They're not as different as they need to be. But I think the younger generation is growing up with more inclusivity. And it's not that big of a deal. When I lived in San Francisco, there were lots of safe spots for people to express themselves, and I didn't have that when I was where I grew up in Michigan, and this was a city that celebrated that, and it's really important and powerful to be around people who are being themselves in that way. And so my roommate at the time, she also She was the one that took me to gay clubs, and she took me to a sex club. Whoa, that's a whole other podcast. Or is it? That's not this kind of podcast. It was like a safe sex lesbian club. I can't remember if there were any men there or not. But it's a really cool experience to see that and see people without shame and with genuine respect and safety and exploration. And it's a big deal, you know, from going to male-dominated clubs to female-dominated clubs, and then having the experience of like a woman hitting on me is, you know, I'm glad that I had that experience because I got to see what that feels like. So I can quietly support gay pride. But if I did march, when I do march again, I should say, what am I going to be marching for? For supporting, for their rights, but not to take somebody else's pain or experience, but to honor that and see them and see where they're at. And my son, I mean, I celebrated gay pride 10 years ago by having straight sex. What? And entering into a relationship with my husband that is very traditional, and that's what I've done, and that's what I believe in, and the sanctity of that and creating this space and this type of family was a choice that I made and I dedicated myself to. And now, here's the gay part. I have a son who is growing up in a household and meeting people and around people who are dads, two moms we know who, my leg fell asleep, moms who are raising triplets, and he doesn't think about it. It's not a big deal. It's just families are all different, and this is what some families are like, and I love that, and I'm proud of that. And so, happy Pride, everybody. What a podcast. What about the twists and turns of that? How I just glossed over my women's commune and the sex club? Are those podcasts within themselves? Stay tuned to find out, everybody. This has been Checking In with Mary Lynn, and tell me your experiences about feeling included and discluded. Discluded? Did I just make up that word? Tell me if you've marched in gay pride before. I didn't even talk about my first gay pride was in San Francisco. Then I went to LA years ago. And that was the other thing. When we were out people were saying that the consensus was it's a very commercial now. And a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon. And I think it gets crazier at night. And I think it's kind of like the Fringe Festival, you know, like the actual festival is more commercial. And then there's lots of parties that people have around it, like satellites. And I think that's great. It should be. But people were laughing because they're like, Chase Bank supports gay pride. But that's a good thing. We want the corporations to want to support it because that's that they're making money, that they realize that this is a viable part of society, not something secret and bad. Anyway, #GayPrideEdition of Checking In with Mary Lynn. All right, I'll see you next time. Bye.